And glad you could join us for tonight's Sports Byline. Again, this is a conversation, one of the last conversations ever held with Tom Landry, the Hall of Fame coach. And when we started talking about coaching and how it has changed.
Well, I think the thing that's changed everything in professional football today is the salary. I mean, the money is so big today, and with the cap and with the free agency, what will take place in those kind of situations is that the owners now get into the things that the coaches ought to be doing, and that's drafting players and doing those things. And because they have to watch out, I'm sure, for the cap and what it means. So I think that's the difference today. I mean, we used to, when I was coaching, I ran the show. I ran the football end of it, and Tex Ram ran everything else, and we just had a great relationship.
Do you still find that you can build a franchise today? Because if you're somebody that has plunked down $150 million to buy a franchise, there is the expectation to see a return on that investment as quick as possible.
Well, there isn't any question about that. That's going to be difficult. I think it was pretty neat the way the expansion clubs played this year. You know, I think, you know, with Charlotte and with Jacksonville, just one step away from the going into the Super Bowl was amazing. And I think the thing that took place was that the owners, you know, didn't realize, you know, how good it was for them when they gave them extra draft choices and those kind of things. And with the free agency, being able to bring in people from the free agency, it just made a difference. I know if they'd have gone to the Super Bowl, their probably owners would probably had a heart attack in the rest of the league.
Speaking of that, take me back to 1960 when you came aboard to start a new franchise, the Dallas Cowboys. What was the philosophy back then, and how was that organization put together?
Well, it was put together in a hurry. You remember the All-American Conference?
That's right.
They had a team here in Dallas, and the NFL, of course, with George Halas, was on that expansion club, and he wanted to protect the Dallas market, and so they gave the franchise to Clint Merkison. But the only problem was that the draft was over with, and we didn't have any players. And so I went in and gave the owners a real passionate plea to help us out because we're competing against the All-American Conference and everything, they finally came out of a meeting and said, well, we're going to let you have three players. We're going to pick up the 9 worst ones we have, and you're going to get 3 of them. And at that time, that's about what we got. We ended up 0-11-1, so you can imagine what we had going for us.
Tom, one of the things that I think a lot of people admired, and I don't know that you could do that in football today, was that you were able to get continuity because you didn't have the movement of players. You knew they were going to be in your organization if they were talented for an extended period of time. How much more difficult is it for a coach to mold a team together to play consistently week in and week out of the NFL with the change of players?
Well, it's difficult. There isn't any question it's difficult today. And just from what we've talked about so far, you know, when you talk about the cap and the owner sitting there waiting to whether they have to go over the cap or not. And I know they Dallas gave up the best kicker in their league, you know, to Philadelphia. And that was going to may come back to haunt them, you know, just because of that. But it's just difficult. It's difficult when you got so many people involved in the selections of people.
I think it's fairly safe to say that yourself, Don Shula, Bill Walsh, Joe Gibbs, certainly the most successful coaches over maybe a 20 to 25 year span in professional football. Chuck Knoll, I think you'd have to put into that category, obviously, as
sure,
well.
He's excellent.
What's the common denominator of all 5 of you?
Well, you know, we're all kind of grew up in a different era than we had now. Bill Walsh did. He did before he came on in to make his name in San Francisco. And, of course, Joe Gibbs did when he was with San Diego and then into the Redskins. And all these guys were just really good top people. They knew how to motivate people. They knew how to get the best out of them. And that's what happened in those eras. Now you don't have that same. You can't predict really what's going to happen in a football team today.
You just touched on it. Motivate, manipulate. I think they're the same words, knowing what a team needs to be, what button you need to push on a team on a given day. How does one pick that up? Do you know, does a coach like you or Gibbs or Walsh, do you understand the personality of your team so well that you know how to push the button and when?
Well, you would have to say yes, that they did know how to do it and when to push the button, because they were all motivators. They were all able to get the best out of their players, and I think that's the key to coaching. You know, I've always said that coaching is really getting the best out of your players. If you can do that, then you've done a great job with them.
Tom, one of the things I've observed of all the coaches that I mentioned, and particularly Bill Walsh, since I knew him so well, but I also observed it about you, is that you were both close to your players in a professional sense, but also you were aloof from them in a personal sense. That's a very thin line. How does a coach walk that thin line?
Well, you just have to have the players feel, you know, that you're in control. And if they feel that, and if they act on it, then you've got a good situation going for you. And if you don't, then you won't have much success. But all these coaches had what it took, you know, to bring them to a point they are.
Let me ask you about a couple of players that probably challenged you in a sense, challenged your composure, and that would be Hollywood Henderson. Talk a little bit, if you will, about him and your organization, because the Dallas Cowboy organization at that particular time was one that did certain things in a certain way, and that's why they were successful.
Well, you know, of course, Thomas Henderson came along in the 70s. Dwayne Thomas was probably the first one that we had a little trouble with in the 60s, but that was a new era. That was the era of the drugs and everything coming in from the 60s, you know, not only from pro football, but from high school and all the way up. You know, that was something that you had to face, and most of us really didn't have any understanding of drugs. I never knew about a drug in my life, you know, before it surfaced there. But it was so, and we weren't ready for it. We weren't ready to take a Dwayne Thomas, because most of the time, Thomas Henderson or Dwayne Thomas, either one, they will never tell you the truth. You know, when they're on drugs, they're not going to tell you they're on drugs. And we had no way to counteract that, other than if the player just wouldn't do what was necessary, then we had to get rid of him. And that was that's the thing that hurts the most, when you can't help a player and you can't do something for him that will make a career. Because I know that if Thomas Henderson or Dwayne Thomas was with us in the 70s, in there, we would have been we might have beat Pittsburgh at least once.
Yeah,
anyway.
I know what you mean. And usually with the good organizations, and I witnessed this with the 49ers, and I think the same can be said for the Cowboys, any outstanding organization, the real discipline on a team comes from within the locker room. It really doesn't come from anywhere else, does it?
No, it really comes. Well, of course, it comes from the head coach.
Right, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, and that's true. I mean, we had our plays were not all perfect. You know, we had chapel programs for them. We had Christians like Roger Staubach and those kind of players. Same thing the Cowboys have today with the Aikman and with some of the players they got now. But they got some that are not, you know, not fitting the image too well, and that's what they got to correct.
When you take a look at some of the players you had, Roger Staubach, Tony Dorsett, Randy White, Ed Tuttle Jones, you had an awful lot of great players. What was the common denominator of all great players?
Well, they're all great competitors. You know, you can't give somebody something. They have to have it when they come, and they got to be great competitors, because you have the ups and downs. If you can't roll with the punches, as we had to do for 29 years, we were up and down and up and down, but we always stayed at a pretty high level, you know, through those years. But it takes those kind of players to do it. And I remember after we had lost a couple of games to Green Bay, we lost a couple to Cleveland, and we were known as a team that couldn't win the big one, you know. And really what took place there was the players rallied around. They were the ones that kind of, in meetings and things, that they kind of moved us back into the forefront. And after a season that we had really gone into the final games of the season, I think it was 1972, I guess, 71, and when we went in to that season towards the end, St. Louis had us down by three losses going into the final thing, and we never lost another game after that. Our players rallied themselves, and they made it happen.
You were talking about players and motivation and everything. Money is certainly a big motivation, but I find amongst all the great players today that really money is secondary. It's the pride of performing on a consistent basis week in and week out, a la maybe a Barry Sanders or a Steve Young, those type of people. Would you agree with that statement?
Well, sort of. I think that that they really, the motivation is not there, you know, at this point to the extent that we like to have it. I think money still plays the major part of the thing, mainly because of the big, the difference of making $5 million like a Aikman makes to a 250, whoever else is on the squad. I think it just makes a big difference, and I think it's more difficult.
We had Jim Brown, the Hall of Famer, on with us, and we talked a little bit about the Dallas Cowboys situation today, some of the problems they've had off the field. He had this comment about football players today and the Dallas situation. Listen to it and give me your response.
In football, you see things that are unbelievable. When the Dallas administration have no comment on situations because they didn't take place on the field, and they make no comment or take no stance, that's unbelievable. When you see certain things that go on in the field, based on attitude and a lack of respect, that's something that I think is very, very bad for the game.
How do you see that?
Well, I think he's probably right. You know, that's true, because you know it really comes down from the top. You know, if your top people, your management and everything, they have to set the tone, you know, of whatever they want to set. And really, Dallas hasn't done that. They haven't, you know, done the job they should have done a long time ago. I guess they felt like they were indispensable, that they were going to win regardless. But you don't do that. After you win a Super Bowl or two, you know, you think differently. The players do, and management does, and it's just a different era. And I think Jim's right. You know, that it's unreal what we're seeing today. I have to admit that with him.
Tom, over the years that you were in professional football, when you reflect back on it, what would you like to have the media, the fans, and your fellow players and coaches remember about Tom Landry?
Well, I don't know. You know, people say, you know, how do you want to be remembered? The thing that I hope for, and I see it happening to a sense, I try to you know, teach people the importance of family, importance of religion, and so on, and it's stuck in a lot of people. But what I'm seeing now is that from that experience, like a Bob Lilly, who became a Christian after he left us, Mel Renfro, who I put in the Hall of Fame this last summer, became a Christian just last year. And that's what I like most of what I hope they remember me from that reason.
Tom Landry with us and you here on Sports Byline. And I love just sitting back and listening to what he had to say then, because it's still applicable today. Hall of Fame coach Tom Landry. I'm Ron Barr. We'll take a break, come back, continue with more of you and Sports Byline.